You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you got to get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, you're going to love it. Welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. Hope that you've had a great week. I just got a flood of text in because Claire Bronfman, heiress to the Seagram liquor fortune, was just sentenced to 81 months in prison. And that's more than the 60-month sentence prosecutors had recommended. You will remember she's the first member of NXIVM, which was the marketed self-improvement programs, to be sentenced in the federal case that resulted in the cult-like group's founder, Keith Raniere, being convicted of sex trafficking, racketeering, sexual exploitation of a child, and human trafficking charges. This story is being shown in the series The Vow on HBO. I've interviewed Catherine Oxenberg, whose daughter was a sex slave in the group. Frank Parlato, who runs the Frank Report, which is this inside look at behind the scenes of the organization. And I've also interviewed the cult director, Rick Allen Ross, all about NXIVM. So it's really great to see that there's some justice being served. So Claire was one of five co-conspirators that was indicted on racketeering charges in connection with Keith Raniere's case. But her sentence was in connection with two charges she pled guilty to in April of 2019, which included conspiracy to conceal and harbor people who were not in the U.S. legally for financial gain, as well as fraudulent use of identification. She has spent the last 2 years in home confinement. Now, as far as the immigration charges, it's because they had brought all of these young girls from Mexico to work as slaves. And they kept them in the country illegally. They said to them, if you don't follow what we tell you, then we're just going to drop you off and you have to find your way back to your country. And guess what? You don't have legal paperwork. So sorry, it's on you. So taking away any financial support, their families may or may not have cut them off, especially if their family was involved with the cult as well, and just kept them in the country illegally. So those were the charges against her. She has spent the last 2 years in her penthouse apartment in New York City. Now I ask you, would this happen to somebody else who had a different skin color? Probably not. But this woman is privilege beyond privilege. She inherited $250 million from her father. $250 million. And according to Frank Parlato, who, as I mentioned, was a guest on my show, she spent $200 million of that money on this organization. So deep, deep pockets. So I'm just thrilled that justice is being served. I'm surprised that it's well more than prosecutors asked for, but they're just throwing the book at her. Like, I think that The Vow has helped this case enormously. And my gratitude for those that had been victims who had come forward and how they collectively just worked so hard to bring this story to everybody. And they say in the series, the only choice we have is to go to the media because law enforcement can't stop paying attention when it's all over the media. Now, the four other co-defendants in the case, They were high-ranking members of the organization. They pled guilty last year to racketeering charges in connection to the case. And while Bronfman pled guilty to 2 charges, she said that she was never aware of this group DOS, which was the group of women who were the sex slaves. I don't believe that for a minute. I think that she knew exactly what was going on. So great news. Almost 7 years that she will have to serve. One of the series that I'm going to be watching this week, it actually comes out today, is American Murder, The Family Next Door. This is a Netflix documentary film done by Jenny Popplewell. And it's the story of the 2018 Watts family murders, which took place in Colorado. This is the husband that killed his wife, pregnant wife, and daughters. He had been carrying on an affair. And it's very similar to the Jeffrey McDonald trial of 1970, which was the subject of my last episode. And so this is going to be interesting because they use archival footage, including social media posts, law enforcement recordings, text messages between the two of them before she disappeared, and home video footage to depict the events that occurred. So that's out on Netflix now. Again, it's called American Murder, The Family Next Door. I also wanted to mention that one of the great things about my show and the Facebook community is how people are so invested in all these shows and just the word of mouth, because when I put a notice out that this Jeffrey McDonald trial would be the subject of this FX series called A Wilderness of Error and encouraging other people to watch it, Margaret Duffy wrote me and said, not only do I know about this case, but my father was one of the first police officers on the scene in 1970. He was a 20-year-old MP. And so I asked her if he'd be willing to talk to me, and he did. He was so gracious. He's a grandfather on Long Island, a retired NYPD detective. And later, when I spoke to the executive producer of the series, he was like, how did you get Bob Duffy? And so I have to give my gratitude and my thanks and my gratitude to those of you who are listening to this show and are in the Facebook group, because your collaboration is so valuable to me. And I think that that episode in particular had a certain sparkle to it because it really humanized the story. Not just the victims, but also those that were witness to the murder scene that night and how that affects the trajectory of their life. So just, you know, keep on reaching out to me if you're familiar with a case or you have a connection to it. Anything that we're talking about on the show or in the group that's the subject of a docuseries or a documentary or even a reality show, please continue to reach out to me. Now, there were 2 shows that I was thinking about this week, and I'm wondering if you also watched them, and I'm assuming you did. One was called MTV Cribs. It was this bonkers show on MTV where they would allow you to go inside the homes, private homes of celebrities. And what was great about it at the time was way before Instagram, where people are, you know, showing you their living rooms and they're on Instagram story and everything. This was like the only window you got into someone's private world. And for a lot of these celebrities, they were probably on the cusp of becoming famous. So they were not as polished as so many celebrities are today. And some of their homes were just stupid. They're just ridiculous. Like one had a living room jacuzzi instead of a living room couch. Like what home would you go into these days and think that that was normal? Or DJ Khaled was bragging that he had a shower big enough to fit 30 people. Now, his brother is my friend, Allah. And I texted him, I'm like, I'm just thinking about MTV Cribs and how your weird brother was bragging about 30 people in a shower, how they could fit. Does he still have that shower? And he's like, oh God, no. But I think it's because these celebrities felt a sense of like, I have to be braggadocious to either maintain an image or to create this image that I'm this wealthy, wealthy person. And it sort of reminds me of The Real Housewives, because a lot of these homes that they live in are rentals. And you guys are smart and you're noticing too. So you're like, wait a second, you have a totally new house this year. You have a totally new car. There was this one Real Housewife in Orange County several years ago. It was like every season she had a new car. I'm like, if you're that wealthy, look, is somebody loaning you a car? Or do you have a lease? Like what's going on? Because you're making it seem like you can walk into any store in America and just buy everything with a Black American Express card. So it just like kind of shows you how smoke and mirrors it is. What's funny about MTV Cribs is that a lot of these celebrities ended up faking the homes that they lived in. Like JoJo the singer, she was like this tween pop star at the time. She was just beginning to become famous. I bet you her management was like, you've got to go on MTV Cribs because it's great exposure for you. Well, she and her mom apparently had been living like hotel to hotel, so they used her uncle's house. So she's like giving you a tour of her uncle's house, which is pretty hilarious. One of the most memorable episodes was Mariah Carey, who, of course, did have buckets of money. She gave us a tour of this tri-level penthouse in Tribeca. It was 2002. It was 11,000 square feet, 3 bedrooms, 5.5 baths, multi-walk-in closets. One of the closets was just outfitted with lingerie, like negligees. Very strange. And it'd be like Mommy Dearest hangers with negligees like 3 feet apart. And then a lot of those those weird Zsa Zsa Gabor slippers with the feather boa attached to it. Like, I'm like, who wears this stuff? At one point, I think she was on an elliptical in high heels. She had her dog, this annoying dog, Jack, that would just follow her everywhere. And you could tell that Jack would like murder somebody if given the opportunity. And then at one point, she actually gets in this hot tub in a negligee. And you're like, these poor people that were filming this had to sit there and wait around because she's notoriously late, had to wait for her and then be subjected to waiting more for her to do outfit changes. So that's a memorable episode. Also, when you walked into her apartment, she commented, and I never forgot this for years, that the walls looked like candy. It looked like shellacking. And even to this day, if I meet somebody who's an interior decorator, I'm like, yeah, modern farmhouse, whatever. Can you go back in time and explain to me what Mariah Carey did to those walls in the MTV Cribs? And they're like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. All right, some of the funniest things that have come out of that episode. Ja Rule pretended he owned a home. He used somebody else's home. And he never got authorization to tape the interior of the home and apparently damaged it. And then he got sued. Robbie Williams showcased his home, but it was actually Jane Seymour's house that he was renting. The Yin Yang Twins had this impressive pad, but it would turn out it was just Redmond's infamous Staten Island home. So totally fake. Destiny's Child at the time was enjoying massive mainstream success in the early 2000s. So MTV tried to make everyone believe that they actually all lived together in a house in Houston. It's like they're making enough money. They don't need to live together. And then you realize by the end of it that it's just like an episode about candy shoes because Beyonce takes cameras into Kelly Rowland's room where it's like, oh, okay, well, that's really her room, where she uncovers this candy's shoe box filled with mementos of old boyfriends. And you're like, okay, product placement. Little Bow Wow was caught in a controversy in 2018 about taking a private jet when he posted a stock photo on Instagram and claimed it was own. Which was reminiscent of the episode when he was 21 years old and showed off his Bentley, Lamborghini, and Cadillac Escalade, but they were reportedly rented for the occasion. Each car was emblazoned with the word Prestige, which happened to be the name of the luxury rental car company in Miami. Damon Dash apparently used Mariah Carey's house in London because he apparently had all these financial problems. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So, oh, 50 Cent, by the way, he showed you his refrigerator and it was like stocked full of vitamin water, no food. And it reminds me of Yolanda Hadid in Housewives, how she had this bizarre refrigerator that was just a total glass door with color-coded fruit. And it actually makes you think about people's homes. Like you could tell a lot about somebody by opening the refrigerator. Like, do they live like a hoarder? Do they have an obsession with a certain food? And if so, are they malnourished? Do people have lots of protein drinks? What about people you open the refrigerator and there's just like one piece of like a molding piece of vegetable? Or people that have too much food and they don't eat it? You could go on and on. So anyway, oh, and Kim Kardashian, on her episode of Cribs, she actually used her mom's house in Hidden Hills. And that house at the time had a stripper pole. I'm always surprised at people who give tours of homes and it's like, oh, and there's a stripper pole in the corner. So anyway, MTV Cribs, if you remember that, that was quite a show. One of the other shows that I was thinking about was called Pop Star. Do you remember the show? It was basically before its time. So it was before American Idol. And So they would have these auditions where people would go into like LA auditions, San Francisco. It was like before, just like American Idol. And you would have people try out. And then during the tryouts, they would have five people try out at one time. So it wasn't like American Idol. It was like one person. Pop star was five people at one time. And then the judges would decide from that group of five, like who would go on. Now, what you need to know is that the first season of Pop Star, they created this group called Eden's Crush. So you would see them all live together after they became finalists. And then they would go behind the scenes to inform them in whatever hometown they lived in. You made it. You're in the group. So Eden's Crush is interesting because Nicole Scherzinger was a finalist and became a member of that band. And they didn't last very long. So it was five girls. So they have a second season. They decide, let's mix it up and have it like a co-ed group. And so I just went back and watched the first episode, and I encourage you all to do so because it's hilarious. First of all, the judges are like cheese balls, and it's very 90s, so they have the worst outfits on. So Tony Michaels is a choreographer. I don't know where Tony Michaels is today. James Foster Levy, David Foster's sister, is one of the judges. She went on to have a child with Clay Aiken, by the way. She's a lesbian, and they decided to like co-parent. So she's the big time judge. And then somebody named Brad, who was a music producer who worked with James, and they said he produced big hits for NSYNC and somebody else. And then you realize that all of the contestants are dressed up like people in NSYNC. So whomever is the singer of the time, all the contestants you realize dress up like the person. People still do it today if you watch American Idol. And then instead of having like a Ryan Seacrest, they have this gross radio DJ from Z100 in New York, and he's just behind a desk. They don't even let him come to set. It's like he's in some DJ booth in another building. So the other thing that made me laugh so hard is that Josh Henderson, who went on to be in TV shows like Dallas, he went on to become an actor after he made the band in season two of Pop Stars. The band that was created was called Scene 23. And it's like, where do you come up with these stupid names? So it's a co-ed group. And so, I mean, he went on, you know, to be quite famous as an actor. And he was most recently in that show, The Arrangement, which was like a spoof of Scientology, like Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise. So you go back in time, I'm watching the first episode just for shits and giggles, and it's like Josh Henderson is from this small town in Texas, and he's here with his girlfriend who also dreams of being a pop star. She actually bought tickets, saw the advertisement, bought tickets for the two of them to fly from Dallas to San Francisco for today's audition, and they're hoping that they can both get it through. And you're looking at this couple and you're like, this guy's got dreams for stardom. And this is just this like high school girl that was probably in the school play. And there's no way in hell that they're going to survive this audition, especially if he makes it through. Because he basically looks like the amalgamation of like every boy bander into one with the spiky hair. And you see him try out and he's like, I'm going to be performing something from No Strings Attached. Of course he is, because it was the big song of the time. And he's got a tank top topped on, and he's got jeans, and the jeans are way too long. Remember that style? It was like they should have been cuffed or hemmed or something. So he does this dance, and they're all lined up, and he is told that he's the only one in his group that follows through. And you're just sort of like, that poor girl Morgan just spent all three Skittles in her bank account on buying these two tickets because she believes that she probably was going to be a pop star from this. And then her boyfriend, who was already probably cheating on her, actually makes it through. And then he becomes a finalist, goes on to become a pop star, and then goes on to work in television. So I'm just trying to wonder what happened to Morgan. I feel like I have to track her down and ask her what happened after he made it. Like, did they fly home together? And did she want to stab him with, you know, whatever fork she had on the flight home? Because there's no way that a relationship would withstand that. So this episode I'm also excited about because Greg Zarian is absolutely hilarious. He's a host. He's an actor. You've seen on a million things. And he's hilarious. And I had to ask him about Dancing with the Stars because I've been watching the season. It's a real shit show. First of all, I don't get the sense that any of these pros want to be there. I feel like they're phoning it in, to be quite honest. and the judges seem like a mess. Tyra Banks is a terrible host. So I've been dying to talk to somebody who also wants to scream at the television. So this episode is super funny. My guest is Greg Zarian. Here we go. Greg Zarian is an acclaimed actor, model, and host. You can see him in his recurring role in the third season of the HBO hit series Westworld as Reed Phillips. And guess what? Just nominated for an Emmy for the show Venice. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, well, here's my question for you.
Go.
Born and raised in Glendale, California.
Right.
Do you know the Kardashians?
You know what? Born and raised in Glendale, California. Here's the beautiful thing about that. My father, who passed away 8 years ago, was really great buddies with Robert Kardashian, the father, their father. And yeah, they were basically the first two prominent Armenians to get attention, if that makes any sense. He was a very, very successful lawyer, as you all know, from the OJ case. And then my father became the mayor of Glendale.
Oh, and I see that.
Yeah, he was mayor 4 terms, 16-year city council. And then he was hand-selected to be on the transportation board by Arnold Schwarzenegger. But what's interesting is I said, Pop, what do you think, Daddy Kardashian would think about this? And he said, because my father was very old school, and as was Papa K, he would be rolling over in his grave just for the fact that it is such a proud culture. Now, mind you, 10 years later, mm-hmm. they are probably one of the most financially influential families in the world. You know, Chris mm-hmm. Kardashian, Kris Jenner, gave the meaning to Momager and really changed her kids' lives. And she is a force to be reckoned with. My twin knows her. I've met her a couple times. And so it's all about family. But my father was all about, I would never want my children to do anything like that. And the culture was very much to the vest.
But then, of course, they have contributed to a lot of media press about the Armenian genocide, and they've gone back.
You know what they did?
So maybe that helped.
I respect that. Yeah, super proud to be Loris and Doris's child.
Their names were Loris and Doris?
Isn't that fantastic?
Pretty much.
My dad was born in a little town called Loristan, and my mom's real name was Doris. So Loris and Doris.
And then you're a twin.
I'm an identical twin.
It's hard for me to tell the two of you apart. I have to tell you.
I'm better looking. I mean, come on.
When I think of your brother, I think of makeovers. Like, he's the king of on television, like coordinating makeovers.
You know what he is? He's a fashion expert and a very celebrated lifestyle expert.
So you were found at a Nordstrom department store, and then later on, you become a soap opera actor. Which soap opera actor do you believe should have had their own reality show?
Maurice Bernard, who played Sonny on General Hospital.
Do you think that soap stars should be on Real Housewives? You know a lot of these housewives.
I do.
You've seen them on The Real Housewives. Do you think it's a good fit, or do you think that they are too aware of cameras? Like, they are too inside baseball to be on a reality show.
You mean, basically, are they playing for the camera?
Yeah, like, they know all the tricks. Like, it was said to me this week by someone that the reason that certain housewives are so successful is because...
Please tell me names. Give me names.
Like, even a Bethany Frankel, she tried to be an actress at one point. Like, they're very aware of what plays to the camera. And they seem to get more camera time, and they seem to be celebrated more than somebody who just happened to be a housewife in a suburban town who just happens to be kind of quirky.
I think if you're a performer, you know how to play to the camera. I think you know how to, one thing as an actor that people have said to me in the 25 years that I've been an actor is, yeah, Greg, great take, but can you bring it down?
Yeah.
People know how to play at a higher pitch. You know, for example, Lisa Rinna, who I've known for a very long time, and she's good at the business. You know, I consider myself as an actor. You know, every day I get up and I get on the stripper pole.
Right.
And it's one of the oldest business. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So Lisa Rinna herself, you know, she has said, listen, I do what I got to do for a job. And you have to respect somebody that is really, really in the hustle. And
mm-hmm.
I commend her for being great at her hustle. Love her, hate her, have thoughts about her. But, you know, you know who I think tells the best story? The ones that are real. You know, as we were speaking about Lisa Rinna, and I think it was her first or second season when, you know, she went after Kim Richards and said, don't go after my husband. You know, to me, that was really raw. That was like, you don't do that. You don't go after somebody and you create a story. You know, you have to respect that. I'm also, I'm an Erica Jane fan because I think there's nothing sexier to me than a woman that has balls.
Yeah.
And she has not apologized. You know, I mean, she's admitted to dancing in a club.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of, you know, pole dancing and everything that we all do, she is open and present with it. And, you know, there's a grit to her that I really, 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 you know, respect.
Okay, so
yes.
Are you still a Real Housewives fan?
I am. Yeah, you know, let me just say one, you know, out of all the housewives, like my twin brother and I are very close to Gretchen and Slade. I spend time with their daughter. Like, it's a real love story, you know, as much as people think, oh, it's a real love story. And what you see is what you get. But one of my favorite housewives story is the Waukeelis, Kathy and Richie, and their kids.
Wow.
And
okay.
No, it's like they are my family. Her and Richie were here last year staying in the guest house. You know, Victoria is engaged and had a bridal shower, and we were very much, even though they, because of COVID, they were there and we were here, very much a part of it. And again, they are a family. Her mom, Noni, said that she never believed that she would get two more grandchildren and calls Lawrence and me her other grandchildren.
So it's
Dancing with the Stars.
Well,
I think it's...
We have to get into it. We have to get...
We do.
We have to get into Dancing with the Stars. So it's back on ABC. This is the 29th season, which is crazy. First premiered in June 2005. So this season, obviously, they have to have a shortened season because of COVID. And they have a motley crew of people, new judging lineup. So we've Carrie Ann Inaba and Bruno, who've been there forever. But they added back Derek Hough. And then the new host, of course, is Tyra Banks. Are you happy with the host and the set of judges for the season?
Carrie Ann is always a doll to me. So I love the way she delivers her critiques. She's fearlessly honest. When she cries, I cry. So I really respect her. And she also, you know, works her ass off.
Yeah.
So I think she's had the history and the experience and really has put in her time. And I love that they brought her back. Bruno, I think, looks amazing with the gray hair.
Yeah.
So does everybody that thank you guys for finally letting your hair grow in. You look great. Same thing. He's a fun character to watch. He really plays to the audience, but also plays to the contestants. Derek Hough, I think he's phenomenal on World of Dance. I think he's trying to find his own,
mm-hmm.
His own here. I'm a fan of him, and I also think him and his sister kick ass, just because, again, they walk the walk, they talk the talk. I am a big Len fan because he's very old school, and, you know, he was is a pro when we didn't have social media, when it meant something different. So I truly believe that, you know, the level and the history of him is super missed. In regards to the host, I miss Tom and Aaron. I do.
I do too.
I miss Tom and I miss Aaron because especially with Tom, it wasn't about Tom.
Yes.
If that makes any sense.
No, it makes complete sense because Tyra makes it too much about herself. And then they put her in these absurd outfits. I'm sure your brother would not be pleased with what they put her in. It seems to me that she feels quite constrained. And maybe that was a good thing that they said to her, okay, between each act, you need to only speak for maybe 50 seconds. Because otherwise, and I've seen her in action, she tends to go on and on. So maybe that's a good thing.
You know, yeah, I think that is a good thing. Somebody said to me once when my twin and I were doing our makeovers, he said it's better to be interested than be interesting. And I went, and I've never let go of that because I need to be interested in the person. Like I do like the fact that Tyra's asking questions. But I want her to get it. Like I want it to be great. Fingers are crossed on that, but my Petta Mercatore thrilled that she's back. And then Shauna Burgess thrilled that she's there because I think they are just fearless, balls out, sexy women. And makes me happy to see them back.
So they've got this very strange mix. What do you think about Carol Baskin being on? And are you happy when the judges refer to her dancing routine as like killing it, given the fact that she may have killed her ex-husband?
Well, I mean, guys, she killed him. There was a moment recently that we saw where she got very emotional and wanted to let the cats go into captivity. Well, then let them go into captivity. If you're so upset about that, then why did you pick one up?
Right.
That's my comment. Like, if you're so heartbroken, then why did you have one come to your house and stay?
Also, does she have to dress in a cat motif every single dance? Like, we get the point. Could you just mix it up with something else?
Make her a puppy?
I mean, it's like, okay, we got it. Game over.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Like 5, 6, 7, 8 meow. No, let's do something else. Who do you think, I'm going to put you on, who do you think is the worst?
I think she's
celebrity
the worst. Dancer. I think
okay.
She, but I have this sneaking suspicion that because it was COVID and it was a shortened season, that even the professional dancers are phoning it in because I don't see joy sparkle in them at all. In the first episode, it just right out of the gate, they were kind of like, we were really happy sitting at home, like drinking copious amounts of wine and watching Netflix. And now here we are on the stage with these horrible dancers and I have to wear a cat costume in 20 minutes. And I'm not really happy about it.
You know, I get that, but here's one thing that I want to say to the directors and the team. You need to let your celebrities know that the camera may pick you up here and there, because I've never seen more people, celebrities, on their phone, look unimpressed, not engaged,
yes,
have their fingers up their butt, and not participate.
Yeah.
Like, if you were my studio audience, put the phone down.
Mm-hmm.
I applauded for you and you heard me shrilly shriek to your Paso Doble that I thought was awful. Do the same thing for people that you're doing it for. That's because it just, again, makes you more relatable and relevant. Like, be cool to the other people. Get off your phone. There should be a no phone thing in the balcony.
Now, I get this sneaking suspicion that it's torture for some of these people to do those segments that are the precursor to the dances. Like, they're sitting in the studio where they practice and they talk about what the theme is that week. And then they have to think about life experiences that lend to the Paso Doble or the waltz. You work in the industry. Do you think it's as uncomfortable for them as it is for us to watch those cheesy scenes?
I'm going to say yes and no. I feel if somebody dials it in and just does a story to give a story, we see it. But I think if you actually see someone, you know, share a story about, you know, Meemaw died because she was hit by a tractor and it made me think of her, you know what I'm saying? You know when, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
You know, when it's, here's, I think it goes back to everything. And it, you know, even bringing it back to Housewives, when it's real, you know, again, Lisa Rinna breaking the glass and saying, don't come after my husband.
Right.
That was genius. And it wasn't fake. It was real. Like, you're telling me something. You are so defensive of your husband and your children. And I think when, you know, there was, who did, oh, Johnny Weir did his dance this week. And for people that don't watch it, Olympic skater and, you know, very out and proud. And, you know, he was out and proud before people were out and proud. And, you know, he was talking about his parents that gave up everything for his dream. I believed every second of that because it's real. And here's the thing. It's not negating that, you know, some people are awkward and some people are uncomfortable and, you know, doing all these things. You know what I'm saying? It's taking people outside of their comfort zone. It's just, if you're going to do it, then go balls out and really be in it. And leave your phone in your trailer. You can get a screenshot from someone. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Like, I kind of resent it. Like, once you've already danced, you're not enthused.
Okay, what about someone like Johnny Weir? Are we surprised that he would be a formidable contestant when he has been an Olympic ice dancer? In other words, should Johnny Weir be lauded for his ability to dance when he's competing against Monica Aldama, who is a cheerleading coach?
He should be lauded because ice skating and dancing are very, very different.
Oh, but I mean, come on. Some of these people have no dance background to begin with. If I showed up and you put some dance shoes on me, I'm at a huge disadvantage compared to Johnny Weir.
Okay, I think you just yelled at me and I loved everything about it. You also have some people that have never done a thing and they come out and they just kick ass. You know, Monica Aldama, you would think that because she's, you know, the best cheerleading coach in the country.
But is she, though? I mean, she teaches at a junior college. Like, is she the best?
Well, she's been heralded as that.
Okay, so who's going to win this whole show?
Who do I think is going to win this year? Nev. Is that his guy?
Neve. Neve from Catfish, yes.
I think he's really good. I think he's charming. I think, you know, he's got a carpet rug that just needs some trimming back, which in Manscaped a little bit, please. I think he has a great story. And I think people get involved in the story. And he looks like he's a cool dad. And again, Anne Heche. I'm rooting for her. I think she's awesome. And I think she as well has a story that I followed for a very long time. So I'm rooting for her as well. Who do you think?
I think Johnny Weir is going to win the whole thing. Every time I see Anne Heche, I can't stop thinking about how she was once called herself Celestia, that she had another personality.
And when she roamed through the desert and walked around for hours, leaving the house that she shared with Ellen DeGeneres. Yes.
And then this woman opened the door and she came in and said, I'd like to take a shower. So she went into the woman's house, she took a shower and then sat down and asked for slippers and sat there with her. And then the woman called the police department. And then remember when Anne went on Barbara Walters and she talked about Celestia and she said that she was from the fourth dimension and that she was getting messages from her planet every day about how to make the world a better place and then said that she spoke another language. Do you remember that? And when she said, Okinas aka fota tuna duna, which translates to, oh God, it's a good fortune to be here. Did you forget about that the way I didn't? Because that's what I think about every time I see her.
Well, no, because then I think of her, there's an image of her that was actually, that had a turban on her head. And then I think of, I wonder if there's ever going to be a reunion with her and Ellen DeGeneres. And then with all the Ellen brouhaha lately, I thought, oh, well, we're going to hear from Anne.
Oh, that's what's going on. Yeah. So it's all kind of like full circle. Okay. Last question is, they call you to be on Dancing with the Stars. Do you take the opportunity?
Of course I do.
Yeah, I would think so.
Oh my God. Here's the thing.
Great.
I want to do it next year, next season, with my twin brother. And I want Shauna Burgess to be my pro. I do.
Yeah, but are you going to support him? Or are you going to look at your phone when he performs?
Oh, my God. Well, of course, it's my twin. I have to take screenshots of him messing up. Please, because he's going to look at me and be like, oh my God, you're going to win. I'm like, oh my God, I know. I think it would be really great fun. And no, I would not bring my phone with me because I don't live on my phone.
who's going to be in the audience when you perform? Of course, your mother Doris will be there, but will we see the Wachilles? Will we see Gretchen and Slade? Who is in the audience applauding your performance?
My mother's in heaven, so she has front row seat to everything. Are you kidding? The Wachilles, Gretchen and Slade and their daughter, Skylar. And I think for shits and giggles, I'm going to invite Lisa Rinna and Harry Hamlin.
That would be great.
Because they love us. And they love us. And I think I would do that.
What if they ask you to overspray tan, to wear some sort of like dragon costume? Are you up for it? Or do you talk to hair and wardrobe and say, can we just dial this back a little bit?
No, I would do it and I would dedicate everything to you. And I would just say that you asked me to. And I would add a few kitten purrs. I would say hello. I would say hello, kids and kittens, is what I would do.
And when they present you with the trophy and the sequins are falling off onto the floor as you are awarded it, do you speak up about that, or do you just sort of tuck it under your arm and call it a day?
Speaking of tucking under, are we going back to RuPaul's Drag Race and how would I tuck under? I probably, if I wasn't fully tucked, and being Armenian German, thank you, Mom and Dad, I would probably stand with probably one of my legs covering the business if it seemed inappropriate because it's a kid's show. I think I'd probably do a special wink and only a handful of people would know what that means.
Right.
And then
yes.
I kind of hope that one piece of glitter falls on my face and lands in such an awful place so it can be there for infamy. So when I am on Good Morning America and I'm sitting next to my twin who came in fourth, because he was dressed as a caterpillar doing the meringue and cha-cha, they bring up the shot of me winning where I'm making a face, but that piece of gold glitter covering my eye all the while making a snarful. Yes, that's what I want to happen.
And I think that what the performance that really clinches it for you is that you're going to do some sort of cha-cha that has to do with the moment that you were spotted at the Nordstrom department store as a sales clerk.
That does include, let me bring it all the way back, to a soap opera and a stripper pole.
Thank you very much.
Please. And I have platform heels, and we can add in a little bit of Rocky Horror to that because that was the jam in the day. And Tears of Joy streaming down everybody's face. And then you will run to me. You will be the first person because you will, of course, push down Kathy Wachilles's mom
and her
daughter.
Yes.
While stepping over Joey and Richie and maybe nudging Gretchen to congratulate me.
And then Skylar and I are wearing matching outfits with Armenian flag. It's like an outfit of the Armenian flag.
As the Kardashians come in full Armenian attire with Erica Jane, because I seriously want to have drinks with her and Garcelle because my twin has their phone numbers. And have I been invited to anything?
No, of course not.
Have them come out as my glamazon women holding hands. They celebrate me. They hoist me up on their shoulders all the while that gold piece of glitter still on my face.
All and also Kim Richards is squatting behind Tyra Banks and screaming, "What about your husband?"
All the while she's wearing an outfit made out of turtles.
Amazing. Listen, end scene. So tell everybody where they can find you, because now they're going to want to follow not just what you're working on, but what you do with your twin.
They can find me at Gregory Zarian, GregoryZarian, on all platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and please feel free to visit GregoryZarian.com and visit the gift store. There is no gift store, I'd just like to say.
I would like some merch, though. I would like a shirt or something.
Please, I'm going to get you a coffee cup. And as I said to you earlier, welcome to the G-Spot.
Welcome to the G-Spot. Actually, could I get that on a sun visor?
Maybe have it brought up on the side of your car.
Or like a fanny pack, right in the right position.
Or a backpack.
Backpack.
Have the arrow be pointing down, because then you could also do a waist bag that says welcome to the G-spot with an arrow, but it all depends on where you have the G-spot zipper.
But the backpack has to be like mini sized. So it has to have really large straps, but the actual backpack size is quite small.
In plaid, made by my sister-in-law. Please visit mandronia.com or go to @masksforacause. Look at that plug in there. Yeah, and then all proceeds go to getting those fucking cats out of the cages and setting them free so they can be one with Simba in Africa.
Amazing. Greg Zarian.
And?
Thank you.
Scene.
And scene. Greg Zarian, thank you for your service. Thank you for your work. I salute you.
Jesus takes the wheel every day.
The amazing Kate Casey.
I want to thank my great guest, Greg Zarian. Remind you guys, go to iTunes, click subscribe. Today is International Podcast Day. You could do me a huge favor by making sure that you go to my show on the podcast apps and click on subscribe and to write a 5-star review. You can join the Facebook group. You can talk about this episode and others and what you're watching, what you're listening to. It's Reality Life with Kate Casey right in the search button. You can follow me on Twitter at Kate Casey. I tweet about shows and during shows all week long. My Instagram is @KateCasey. You can get my list I put out every week on must-watch shows and see who I'm interviewing, what's going on during the week. And my Patreon, which is bonus episodes, is patreon.com/KateCasey. I just did a true crime episode and I'm almost finished with that Meghan Markle book and I will be reporting to you my findings. I'm wishing that all of you have a great week, and I'll circle back with you next week.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.